podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
He is the one who promises us abundant life, life that is overflowing, life that is better than you could ever dream of. This is what He has planned for us, but we must be willing to surrender our lives to Him and allow Him to have His way with us and to do it His way rather than our own way. You'll never find the life until you offer your life to the life, Jesus Christ. So, okay, I hope you're with me so far and you remember then what we talked about last week. And if we're ever going to experience the abundant life that Jesus promised, it will be because we surrender ourselves to God and do life His way. And, you know, we talked last week about the fact that Frank Sinatra and Billy Joel and Bon Jovi, and they might try to convince you that it's your life and that you can do with your life whatever you please. The sky's the limit. And the culture of the flesh agrees with that, that we have the freedom to make of ourselves whatever we want to make of ourselves. That's been a lie since the Garden of Eden. The enemy has been tempting us to rebel against God and to live life on our own terms. And where has that gotten us? Further away from God. Further away from the abundant life that He promises. Don't be fooled. The life can only be found in submission to Him. It's a struggle. We spend so much of our time wrestling with God over our lives rather than willingly surrendering ourselves to Him. And this is where Scripture comes in with the perfect analogy. God is the potter, and you are the clay. That passage that we just read in Jeremiah, it was written to Israel over 2,500 years ago. Basically, Jeremiah was saying, look, I went to the potter's house, I saw the potter working at the wheel, much like Meredith's doing this morning, except without electricity. And as he watched the potter doing his work, working at the wheel, as he was doing this, the potter's fingers and hands were shaping the clay into whatever he wanted to shape. And the potter might begin to form the vessel in one way, and then as he begins to work it, he realizes, no, this is not quite what I wanted. And so he starts to do it his own way, and the potter is the one who's in charge. Jeremiah here in verse 4 says that the potter shapes it as seems best to him, right? Think about that for a moment. The potter shapes the clay as seems best to him. It's his clay. It's his work. In other words, who on earth do you think you are, lump of clay, to tell the potter what your life should look like? Who on earth are you, lump of clay, to tell the potter what your life should look like? And Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9 says, woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say the potter has no hands? In other words, too many Christians are trying to live their lives independent of the potter. They say, thanks for the salvation, God. Thanks for the eternal life. I'll take things from here and I'll live my life however I want to live my life. As if the potter has no hands. As if God has no influence over our lives. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 16 says, you turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? And then Isaiah 64, 8 says, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the work of the potter. We are all the work of your hand. So the order of things here is pretty clear, right? The order of things is this. God is the potter, and you are the clay. God is the potter, and you are the clay, not vice versa. See, God wants to get his fingers and his hands around your life. God wants to shape you and to mold you and to make you into something beautiful of his choosing. That God has had a plan for you since the moment he created you. That he knows what he wants you to be. And he wants to get his fingers on you and his hands upon you to shape you and to mold you and to form you into exactly the beautiful piece of art that he would have you to be. The question is, will you let him? Will you let him? Will you be good clay for the potter? Well, what does that look like? What does good clay look like? How do you prep yourself for the potter? If you truly want the potter to have his way with you, if you truly want to become that beautiful vessel that he wants you to be, what is your role in that? Well, first of all, I believe that the potter would have us all to be committed clay. We need to be committed clay. As a useful lump of clay, you need to be committed to God as your potter. So whether you know it or not, today you are being shaped. Your life is constantly being shaped, whether you want it to be shaped or not. It just happens. Every morning you wake up and your life is shaped more and more and more by the circumstances of your life, by your family, by the cards that life has dealt you, by the advantages and the blessings God has given you, by the difficulties that have come across your path, by the media that you pay attention to, by everything that goes on in your world and in your life and in this culture and in this society and in the Word of God that you allow to penetrate your heart. You are being shaped constantly. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So Paul teaches us that it is our responsibility to offer ourselves to God for his use. It's our responsibility to allow him to transform us by renewing our minds with his word. But Paul also warns us that there's another potter at work here. There's another potter who is working at the same time. In fact, J.B. Phillips paraphrased the verse like this. He said, "Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within." Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, because there is an evil potter who would have you to become something completely different from what God, the ultimate potter, wants you to be. So while Meredith's here hard at work shaping a piece of art, imagine if another potter were to come up here and stick his hands in the clay. Meredith knows what she's doing. She has a plan. She has an idea. She knows what she's making. But imagine if one of you were to just come up haphazardly, randomly. You don't really even know what you're doing. I know I don't. And you were to just stick your hands into the clay and say, "No, I want to make it my way." The point I'm trying to make is that as a lump of clay, you can't have two potters, right? You need to pick a potter. Tag team pottery is not a good idea, right? We need to have one potter. You can't allow the culture to shape you and God to shape you at the same time, because they're working against one another. You need to pick the potter and be committed clay. Second, I think the potter would have us to be softened clay. Softened clay, because clay that is hard becomes unshapable, unmoldable. The clay has to be wet. The clay has to be soft. And then the potter can shape it and mold it however she desires for it to be. In the same way, our lives need to be soft. Our lives need to be soft for the Savior. We need to submit ourselves to him each and every day. We need to be attentive to his will, attentive to his word, attentive to the way that he would have us to live. So whenever we avoid God's call on our lives, and whenever we choose to do life our own way, or whenever we choose to do our life the way of the world, we become harder and harder and harder to the hands of the master. And God has a hard time working through people who are listening to the world and not listening to him. we need to be softened before Him. If you do not soften yourself and allow God to shape you according to His will, then you will never live the life that God has promised. Number three, the potter would have us to be impressionable clay. Impressionable clay. So into what shape is God forming you? What shape is God forming you into? We know this from the Word of God, that when God created us as human beings, He created us in the image of God. He has created us in the image and the likeness of Himself. That's how we were created, according to the book of Genesis. We bear the image of our Creator, but because of our sin and because of the evil influence of the enemy in our life and the evil influence of our culture, the image of God in us has been distorted. And what God wants to do through His Son, Jesus Christ, is to get a hold of your life and to shape you and to change you and to make you to become like Jesus Christ, so that the image and the likeness of God might be restored in you. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:49, "Just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man." This is the image that we as Christians are recreated to bear, the image of God. He wants you to be committed to Him as your potter, softened to His touch, and impressionable, so that His image, the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ, might be stamped on your life. I love this verse that Meredith started us out with, because it speaks it so clearly. In Jeremiah chapter 18, I'm sorry, she read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 17, which says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." This is the Christian life. This is the life that Jesus talks about, to be transformed into the image of God. And that is where we are to be headed as believers in Him. He saved you to make you into a Christ-like version of yourself. That's what He wants for you. Now imagine that for just a moment. What would it be like if Jesus was lived your life? What would it be like if Jesus lived your life? If Jesus, right, were the one who was leading your family, what would it be like if Jesus lived at work, where you work? What would it be like if He went to work, if He was with your family? What would it be like if all of us in the church were in His image and bore the image and likeness of God here? What would our lives be like if it was Jesus who was living our lives for us? That's what God wants for us as the potter, to be committed clay, softened clay, impressionable clay, and also to be an empty vessel. An empty vessel. Vessels that are full of themselves cannot be full of the Holy Spirit. Vessels that are full of their own plans and their own ideas and their own dreams cannot be full of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit requires that we be yielded to God, that we empty ourselves of any ideas and dreams and plans that we have for ourselves, and allow God to give us those things. Allow God to work with us as the potter and to shape us as He would have us to be. Be an empty vessel. Don't crowd your life so that there's no room for God to work. Back in the days of Elisha, there was something that was happening. There was a drought taking place, and there was a widow who lived there in Israel who was in debt. And this widow was about to lose her two sons to slavery. And all she had left was this one small jar of olive oil. So until God performed a miracle for her through Elisha. You remember this story? Elisha had this widow go door to door to all of her neighbors and get empty jars from them. So imagine that, going door to door to all your neighbors and say, do you have any empty jars? She got all of the empty vessels from all of her neighbors and she brought them to her home. And Elisha said, now what I want you to do is take your little vessel of olive oil, just a few drops left, and take that and go in your home and close the door and just fill each and every one of those vessels that you have collected from all of your neighbors. Ridiculous, right? There'll never be enough in that little vial to fill all of the other vessels. But there was. One vessel at a time, she filled them until all of the vessels that she had collected from all of her neighbors were full to the very top. And Elisha told her, sell the olive oil, make a profit for yourself, pay off your debts, and rescue your sons from slavery. What a great story. But you know, this is how God works. He fills empty vessels. And so we must empty ourselves for the Master. But we are so busy filling our lives with noise and busyness and possessions and trivial matters that we don't have room left for Him to fill us. We are so busy and overwhelmed with our lives that we barely have any room for Him to work. And so some of us feel pretty secure because we give God a little bit, you know? We're mostly filled with our priorities and our dreams and our lives, and we give God a little bit and say, God, you can have this little portion of my life. But God wants us to be emptied before Him so that His Holy Spirit can fill us completely and use us the way that He would have us to be. So the potter would have us to be committed clay, softened clay, impressionable clay, and empty vessels. And we need to be fully surrendered and fully softened before Him in order for Him to shape us into the Christ-like versions of ourself that He would have us to be. Now, how do we do that? How do you do that? It requires penitence, repentance, vigilance, and obedience. Write down those four words: penitence, repentance, vigilance, and obedience. Penitence is sorrow for your sin and the hardness of your heart. Penitence is to get down on your knees before God and say, God, my life is so full, I have no room for you. God, I've been chasing after the things of this world and I've forgotten about you. That's penitence. It's sorrow. But it leads to repentance, which is then turning from your sin and turning from your selfishness and turning toward God and saying, God, show me where I need to be softened. Show me where your work needs to be done in my life. And then vigilance. Vigilance is this daily maintenance of your heart to keep an eye on your life, to make sure that it's not slipping away, to hear God through His Word and through prayer every single day, to make sure that you remain soft to the touch of God. We need to remain vigilant. So penitence and repentance and vigilance, and then, of course, the word we all love is obedience. To allow the potter to shape you according to His will, His Word, and His ways. To allow the potter to shape you according to His will, His Word, and His ways. To stop your attempts to hijack the process and take your turn at the wheel. God, let me shape myself for a while. God, you be the clay, I'll be the potter. No, we get it in reverse. We have a God who is working in our life to create the most beautiful version of ourselves that we could never even dream about or imagine. And boy, we need to let Him, Jesus, take the wheel. He needs to be the potter, and we need to be the clay. And we need to obey Him and listen to His voice and follow Him. And if we will do so daily, if you will do so daily, you will be shaped into a beautiful, Christ-like work of art. You will live the life beyond your dreams, the abundant life, the life that God meant for you to live all along. He is the potter. And you are the clay. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? And here's the question I want you to ask yourself in this moment of silence before the Lord. Who is shaping your life right now? Who is the potter of your life? Are you in charge? Are you calling the shots? Do you have dreams and plans for yourself that you have put into motion and you're pursuing? Is the world shaping you? Are you listening to the voices of this world? Not listening to God, but allowing the media and the celebrities and the voices of this world to shape you and the enemy into the image that they would have you to be? Or is God in the process of transforming you from a lowly piece of clay into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ? It's your call. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have turned to Him for salvation, but will you continue day by day to turn to Him for direction? Will you come to Him penitently? Will you humble yourself before Him and say, "Oh God, I need to be softened. I need to be softened." Will you repent of the way in which you've been running away from Him? Come back to Him, turn to Him, and then be vigilant daily to be softened clay before Him, to turn to His Word and to spend time in prayer with Him day by day so that you can obey Him, so that you can not only hear His voice, but walk in this world as one who is led by the potter. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray today, and I pray for each one who is here. Lord, we recognize that there are so many priorities in this life, so many things that grab our attention. And Father, the enemy in the world, the flesh, the devil, would have us to be something completely different from what You would have us to be. And Lord, we confess, Father, that we've allowed the world to be our potter. Father, that we are following the voices of the wrong potter. So Lord, help us to be softened clay this morning, to allow Your hands to embrace us, to shape us, to mold us, and to create us into that which You would have us to be. Beautiful, empty vessels fit to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be used by You in ways that we could never imagine. Oh God, get a hold of our lives. We are the clay. You are the potter. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.